Hey, good evening, everybody. Mike Malloy here. Welcome to Friday night. No, we're not video streaming tonight. We have a little fine-tuning to do. We'll be back at it on Monday. So if you're trying to find the video stream, stop! It's not there this evening, okay? In a few moments, we're going to begin our youth night, where we invite people who are 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17 years of age to call in. Just to talk about what their take is on the way things are, the way things are going, and the political situation that is extant in this country right now, as grim as it may be. Speaking of grimness, did you get this one today? A federal intelligence note is warning police that an anti-government group's call to remove dozens of sitting governors may encourage others to act out violently. it never fails to amaze me. Every time I go on MSNBC and I'm on there for like 4 minutes or 5 minutes with some right-wing talking head, by the time I get home, there are usually, 20, 30 emails calling me everything except a human being, using the kind of language that is unbelievable, and usually going after Molly and Kathy at the same time. And all I have done is try to give as well as get in on a television interview show. Usually David Schuster here lately. And whenever I see that, I think, you know, and I get a lot of emails from people that say, you know, you have lousy language, Mike. You shouldn't use the SOB word or the GD word, which I've given up. I don't necessarily disagree with that, but just in my little world, some of the emails that we get are just astonishing. I've never seen anything like this. And you know my feeling. I lay the blame totally at the foot of the right-wing talking heads, whether it's Beck or Limbaugh or Hannity or the rest of these people. Those are the top tier. Well, Beck and Limbaugh are the top tier ones. And then comes Hannity and his cohort. And then down at the bottom, people like Hugh Hewitt and the rest of these people. Who encourage Eric Erickson, they encourage folks to conduct themselves in a way that just, it's not even considered, as far as I'm concerned, civilized. It's incredible. And then you have people like Michelle Bachmann and Sarah Palin I don't know how this happened. I really don't. I've tried to figure it out. I've tried to give back as well as liberals get, or Democrats even get. But it's kind of pointless. A group that calls itself the Guardians of the Free Republic. I'm sure they have something to do with freerepublic.com, which is one of the leading on-site locus points of these maniacs. But the group calls itself Guardians of the Free Republic, and they want to, quote, restore America, end quote. What does that mean? You know, I've never yet heard any one of these right-wingers explain that, except for the fact of, get the black guy out of the White House. That's the only thing I can think of that they mean. What kind of America? What is it that they want to restore? I mean, this country is, they're not talking about restoring freedom and democracy and representative government. That's not what they're talking about. If they were serious about that, they would have started wetting their pants about it 30 years ago when Ronald Reagan started working with his group to dismantle everything good about this country and the slow takeover of corporate America. But that's not what they're talking about. They love corporate America. They think corporate America has all the answers. They want to do away with government. And I don't understand that. I don't get that. They want to do away with what? They want to do with Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid and the SCHIP program for kids and police and fire and emergency services and the postal services and roads and highways and air travel regulated by the socialist FAA. They want to do with the rail system, public subways, metro systems, buses, light rail systems, rest areas on highways, sidewalks, all government-funded local and state projects, public water and sewer services. Goodbye, socialist toilet, shower, dishwasher, kitchen sink, and outdoor hose. They want to do away with public and state universities and colleges, public primary and secondary schools, Sesame Street, publicly funded anti-drug use education for kids, public museums, libraries, parks, beaches, state, national parks, public zoos, unemployment insurance, municipal garage and recycling services, treatment at any hospital or clinic that ever received funding from local, state, or federal government. That's pretty much all of them. Medical services and medications that were created or derived from any government or grant or research funding. Again, that's pretty much all of them. Socialist byproducts of government investments like duct tape and Velcro. Huh? Use of the internets, email, network computers. Foodstuff, meat, produce, and crops that were grown with, fed with, raised with, or that contains input from crops grown with government subsidies. Huh? How about clothing made from crops like cotton that were grown with or that contain inputs from government subsidies? If a veteran of the government-run socialist U.S. military were to forego his VA benefits, would that help him and insist on paying for their own medical care? How about closing places like the Smithsonian Institute, you know, the Air and Space Museum, Museum of American History, that's socialist. The Washington, Lincoln, and Jefferson Monuments, they're socialist. Government-operated Statue of Liberty, the Grand Canyon. How about the World War II and Vietnam Veterans Memorials, they're socialist. The government-run socialist propaganda location known as Arlington National Cemetery, how about that? Psychopaths, just complete maniacs. Denny Crane wrote that. He's got it's posted over at rawstory.com, an agreement that the teabaggers and the birthers and the anti-healthcare people and the guardians of the free republic, something for you guys to sign. You know, I'm so sick of your phony rhetoric, and I think all of America is. We're just sick of it. I mean, what is it other than destroying the country that you people want? I think that's all you want, just to destroy everything. More than 30 governors, as of yesterday, had received letters demanding they leave office within 3 days or they will be removed. Now, these are Glenn Beck listeners who sent these letters. These are Glenn Beck viewers. I mean, it has to be. Limbaugh and Hannity have been around forever. Nobody cares about Hannity. Limbaugh inspires people to be jerks. But there's only one person in American media who inspires people to this kind of insanity, and that's Glenn Beck. So these are all Beck listeners. Whoever the guardians of the free republic is, whatever kind of a fringe nutcase organization it is, you can bet that the ravings of Glenn Beck, the circus clown, are deeply embedded in the group's collective consciousness, if the group is more than four people. Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal, Michigan Governor Jennifer Granholm, this Republican nutcase we have here, Sonny Perdue, all these governors who have gotten these messages. Well, I think eventually they'll be tracked down and disposed of. And that's the only way to put it. Disposed of. You know, however you want to interpret that. I don't give a tinker's damn how you interpret that. These people, these half-wits, the followers of Glenn Beck and Glenn Beck, all of them should be disposed of, gotten rid of, gotten out of this society. What good are they doing? Nothing. Nothing. All right, we have a couple more things I want to touch on before we move to the feature part of the program. And again, I don't know, I have no idea if we're going to get any kids call in tonight. It's been a long time since we've done this, and young people may have been so turned off by talk radio in general that they've just abandoned it. And if that's the case, I certainly understand. But we'll give it a shot. Excuse me, coming up here in a little bit. Stay with us. I'm Mike Mulley.
I was the ghost.
got this a little over a week ago, and got lost in the pile here. Hi, Mike. My name is Andy. I'm an expat living in Japan. My wife is Japanese, and when our daughter, Sachiko, was born, we decided to raise her in Japan. We had a lot of reasons for doing so, wanting to be far from a culture that tolerates the kind of bigotry and racism that we've seen recently from the Tea Party was one of the reasons. Though it wasn't foremost in our mind to move to a country with its healthcare act together, it's been a hugely welcome surprise. Still, I do miss the homeland and try to listen to your show whenever I can. I think that the first baby step that the U.S. has taken in the direction of getting healthy and actually caring about the least among them will resonate internationally in a big way. At least I hope it will. If you consider the U.S. to be the last remaining superpower, it's obvious that this world leader has been struggling with its own failing health. How can it lead in that state? I know I'm being a super optimist on this, but it's my dream that after the states get their collective strength and vitality back, this may influence and inspire the rest of the world's nations as well. Now, if some of those conservative dorks can get their own blind, can get over their own blind self-interest, we're really talking. Best from a cherry blossoming Tokyo, Andy. That's optimistic. That was an optimistic note. The Vatican now is invoking the persecution of the Jews as a comparison to what the poor German Pope is going through. A senior Vatican priest speaking at a Good Friday service compared the uproar over sexual abuse scandals in the Catholic Church to the persecution of the Jews. It's astonishing. Let's see. I thought it was the atheist's fault. No, it's a homosexual's fault. No, somehow it ties in with the Jews. Unbelievable. Father Lombardi said, it's not meant as an attack on the Jewish world, anything but. You know, the Catholic Church, which has been one of the foremost leaders in anti-Semitism for the past 2,000 years, and given a chance without any sort of punishment or any sort of consequence, would do it again. You know they would. So do I. Come on. Come on. Vatican II, yawn. The Catholic hierarchy sees the Jews as the people who murdered their avatar, and they always shall. That's not going to change. Vatican II in 1960-whatever, supposed to eradicate, you know, almost two millennia of anti-Semitism, culminating, of course, in the Catholic Church's willful silence and the butchery of 6 million in Europe. So to use examples of Jewish historic Jewish persecution, of which the Catholic Church is one of the leading causes of that persecution, to use it now as an example of how their Pope is being brutalized is beyond madness. It's just, I would suggest to the Catholic to the Catholic hierarchy, you know, this is Good Friday. In Matthew 18, verse 6, but who shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me? It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Matthew 18, verse 10, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. Matthew 18, 14, even so, it is not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. Mark 9, verse 42, and whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. Luke 17, 2, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea, that he should offend one of these little ones. Case closed. But you see, the Catholics have, and I guess most Christians have granted themselves that extreme unction, that ability to say, Well, I have brutalized children. I have murdered, killed, invaded countries, committed inquisitions. I have slaughtered people. I've done everything imaginable that would be considered a crime and a sin. But if on my deathbed I can say, I'm sorry, I'm home free. Oh, of course, if there's a priest nearby or a layperson who understands last rites, I'm home free. Yeah, okay. All right, we'll open up the phones and see if the kids are listening. The phone number here is 877-996-2556. I'm Mike Malloy. Before the hour. All right, we have a couple of people on hold we're going to go to here in just a second. We are turning the show over tonight. If there are any kids out there who want to participate, if you don't want to participate, that's cool. We can get back to the regular format with no hard feelings. But what we're hoping for is what we've done on these youth nights in the past, and that is kids 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17 call in with their point of view, their take on what's going on. The phone number is 877-996-2556 if you'd like to join in and give it a shot. Stephen is first tonight, calling from Madison, Wisconsin, listening on the mic. Hey, Stephen.
Hey, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm all right. You mind telling us your age?
I'm 15.
15? Are you in high school?
Yep.
Okay. Next year you'll be what? Sophomore, junior?
Next year I'll be a sophomore.
Next year you will.
Yep.
What prompted you to call this morning? Or this afternoon? Oh. I mean this evening. Oh my God, I'm just totally screwed up here. What prompted you to call this evening?
Well, what I noticed was all the Republicans I knew were like, yes, universal health care is awesome. Then all of a sudden Democrats start talking about it, then they're like, oh wait, this is bad. You know, it's just the hypocrisy.
Now, when you say Republicans you knew were talking about universal health care would be good, you mean before this past year, before the debate,
before the debate, like back when Bush was in office?
Right, right. So why do you think they changed their minds?
Well, they just go with the pack leader, do whatever they say.
Oh, no.
The Republican machine.
Wait, Stephen, can you put, I don't know what you're using to call in. Have you got a different channel? You're vibrating. Try again.
What's that?
Your voice is just blah, 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 you know, going like that. Are you on a cell phone? Are you on a internet?
No, we must have a really bad connection. I can barely hear you.
Yeah, call back.
All right, I will.
All right, call back. I don't know what happened there, but it was not good. Cassie is calling from Texas. Cassie is an alumna of. Of our youth nights. Cassie's 18 now. We're going to let you talk anyway. How you doing, Cassie?
Hey, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. You start Princeton this fall coming, right?
Yes.
Good for you. You first called, how old were you when you first called one of our youth nights?
For the first youth night, I was 14.
14. Good Lord. It's been that long ago. What do you think has changed in those 4+ years since the first night you called? When you called when you were 14, we were right in the middle of the Bush years. What has changed in this country?
Well, we're involved in a completely different war that we shouldn't be in. you know, Afghanistan instead of Iraq.
Right.
What has changed? I think that things are a lot more hopeful. I think that having Obama in office is actually a lot better for the country.
Mm-hmm. What about the reaction, though, of the general public? I saw something on MSNBC tonight, or CNN, I'm not sure which, that said Obama's approval rating now overall is down to 41% of the American people, and 44% do not approve of his policies. I certainly would like to grab hold of some of the optimism that you have. With numbers that low in regard to approval ratings, where do you get the optimism, Cassie?
Well, I think that most of the people who have the low approval ratings don't really follow the news. They're either getting their news from Fox or they're getting their news from the right-wing radio.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the people who are reading either both sides of a story or are hearing more facts and less opinion
mm-hmm.
probably have a higher, he has a higher, but I also think that some of that disapproval is from people on the left.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. A lot of that would be from the left, you know, liberals or progressives who feel betrayed by some of the decisions made by this administration. What do you say? You're 18. You should graduate if things go the way they normally do.
A month from Monday.
No, I mean from Princeton.
2 months from Monday.
Yeah, from high school. But from Princeton, probably about, you're 22. You'll be 22, or roughly 22.
Yeah.
What do you think things are going to look like 4 years down the road? And I realize that's an impossible question to answer. So I'm just kind of, you know, asking it.
I don't know. I mean, to get through more elections between now and then, but I think that, I don't know. I mean, I think that people will see that some of Obama's policies are actually helpful.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that we will be completely out of Iraq and be leaving Afghanistan by then.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Well,
that's a hard question.
You are essentially hopeful, though. That's what I hear you say. You've got, you know, you're 18. You have decades stretching out in front of you. So, In those decades to come, you do feel hopeful that the country will find its a balance point and things will work more toward reason and logic and rational behavior than what we're involved in now, whether it's domestic or foreign policy, right?
Well, on the one hand, I'm very hopeful of that.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, I think that there are some things that are happening that will make that less likely. Like the way that the textbooks in Texas, our biology textbooks and our history textbooks and our health textbooks, like I think that we're definitely headed for more misinformation than uninformed public. I don't think that Texas is going to be helping get an informed citizenry.
All right, now you've come through the Texas public school system, is that right?
Yes, I did.
Okay, the textbooks that you used this year, whether they were science, math, history, whatever, do you feel that they were textbooks that you could literally learn from, or were there textbooks that presented a certain ideology?
I think that they were incomplete. I think that the economics textbooks
mm-hmm.
made capitalism sound like it's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the economics books were pretty skewed.
Mm-hmm.
And then health I had in 10th grade, but our health textbooks don't mention contraception at all.
Mm-hmm.
that's kind of a big absence.
What about science?
Science seems okay. I mean, I'm not much of a science person. So it seems fine to me, but you'd have to ask somebody who,
right.
who knows more about science.
One last question, Cassie. And listen, thanks a lot for calling in here.
Thanks for letting me.
Sure.
I thought I was too old.
Well, you are, but you're an alum.
I am.
You're an alumnus. So what's your field of study going to be the first year at Princeton?
Well, I don't have a schedule set yet. I'm going to be taking a lot of freshman classes. I mean, freshmen, take some of the
requirements
and things, although the required classes, although I'm actually going in with, if on my AP exam, I'm going in with 14 credits.
Going in, say it again, honey.
With 14 credits.
14 credits already. Holy Toledo. Any idea where you want to wind up in your studies at Princeton? Foreign service?
I'm thinking about going to law school, and I'm also thinking about possibly becoming an activist of some kind, but I'm not sure what kind.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still thinking about journalism, but I don't know how practical that is.
Yeah, I hear
you. That's one of those things that I don't think looks hopeful.
I would agree with that. All right. Well, listen. Stay in touch. You're obviously about to embark on a pretty big adventure. So stay in touch. Okay, Cassie.
Okay, I will.
All right. Thanks a lot. Thanks for checking in.
Thanks.
All
bye.
Right. All right, sweetie. Bye. Cassie in Texas. 4.5 years ago. That was just another lifetime ago. All right, we have a break here. We'll come back. We have one open line. The phone number is 877-996-2556. If you're 13, 14, 15, 16, or 17, and would like to get a comment in tonight, we'd like to hear from you. All right, stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy.
You, who are on the road, must have a code that you can live by. And so, become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well, their father's hell did slowly go by. And feed them on your dreams, one they picked, the one you know by.
Because liberal is a good word, it's more Mike Molloy.
10 before the hour, this is Youth Night on the Molloy Program. We're talking to kids 13 to 17. If you'd like to call in, the number is 877-996-2556. August is calling from Ventura, California. Hey, August.
Hi.
August?
Yeah.
Hi, welcome to the program.
Hi.
How old are you, August?
I'm 17.
Okay. What's on your mind tonight?
I was calling in to talk about how our youth is, like, wasting their time in California of partying and, like, getting away from, like, what they really should be doing and, like, going to school. And a lot of us are dropping out of high school and going to, like, independent studies. I'm in an independent study program now.
Mm-hmm.
And the public school system doesn't really seem to be doing much for us to, like, get out of our habits or, like, put that much effort. Because I know when I'd go to school at my public high school, just the things that were going around in school were just, like, overwhelming to just even pay attention and study in class. Like, the classroom sizes are too big.
Right.
And we can't really focus even in class to get a good grade.
Independent studies in California? What does that consist of?
It's a charter high school.
Uh-huh.
and you go like once a week and you get packets and they give you textbooks and you do the work out of the textbooks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I don't really feel like I get much information about the class doing it that way, but it's just like a faster way to get it done and like make up credits.
At the end of quarters or semesters then, you're tested the way people are who go to a regular school?
Yeah, well, basically, we get tested. We don't get tested, like, quarterly on the class because we'll finish the class, like, in, like, a week or two.
Mm-hmm.
If we're caught on it, we could finish it in, like, a week or two or, like, 3 weeks. But most people don't really do that, but they tell you they can do that. But you take a test every week for every credit you do.
I see. Do you feel that you are getting more out of this? I'm talking in terms of academics now. Are you getting more out of the sort of school you're attending now or when you were in regular public high school?
I might be getting more, like, of it done, but, like, I'm not learning, like, more. Like, I'm not learning from a teacher, so it isn't really, like, the same. Like, it doesn't really stick to you the same.
Right.
So, like,
what was this?
Like, really bounced out.
Was this a choice you made? Or, you know, to go to independent studies, did your parents make it? Did you make it together? What prompted you to make a move like this?
Me and my parents both decided to get me into independent studies because I couldn't really focus in school.
Mm.
Because just of, like, the classroom noisiness and, like, the amount of kids in it,
right.
Like, I couldn't really pay attention.
Right, right. Do you plan on education beyond high school?
Definitely. I want to go to college and hopefully go somewhere from there.
What do you think it would take to fix the public school system in California?
I think that the government should spend a lot more money on the schools and make bigger schools, build new schools, and make classroom sizes as low as they can.
Mm-hmm.
I think classroom sizes should be at least 15 kids a class because it's really hard for a teacher to teach even, like, 25 kids.
Yeah.
So, like, and most kids I know in high school aren't really, like, there to learn because people, like I said, like, people are just doing stupid stuff at school and, like, they're not really, like, there to learn. They're there to talk to their mm-hmm. friends. And that's mm-hmm. how it really is in public high school, like, where I go.
Do you, I guess you understand that the state of California, not only is it broke, but it is so far in debt that it's continuing to cut public services, including school teachers, classroom sizes going up, subjects other than academics are being eliminated, like music and art that are so necessary to an education. Given that fact, what do you think the taxpayers in California, because that's where the money comes from to run the schools, is from taxpayers. Do you think they should pay more, or do you think they should just turn their backs and say, it's not my problem?
I think we should pay more for schooling, or pay less on, like, if they're spending more on something than mm-hmm. school, spend more on schooling. Like, we're spending money on a war. Like, we shouldn't be spending money on the war. We should be spending money on our education. Like, the American taxpayers shouldn't have to pay more for education.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, if we have to, like, right now, we should. But, like, we don't really have any other choice because the government is spending money on other things. So
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
they have to raise spending.
Last question, August. Are you going to go to school in California, you know, beyond high school, when you go to college? Is it going to be in California or are you going to leave the state?
I'm probably going to stay in California.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, I'm glad you called. You know, obviously your biggest concern is education, and I hope this works out for you going to independent studies. You really have to have a lot of discipline to do that. And but you sound like the type of young person that does have that discipline. And, yeah, you are missing something and not having a teacher or teachers to relate to, but if it's gotten to the point where the distractions are so great that you and your parents have decided to do this, I hope it works for you, August, okay?
All right,
thank
man. You.
Thanks a lot for checking in. Take care.
Right.
Okay. spend less on war. Now, there's a novel idea. Less on war and more on education. All right. Nigel is holding on. We will get to Nigel when we come back from the break, and we have two open lines. The number here is 877-996-2556. If you're a teenager in that age bracket, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, please call us. We'd like to hear what you got to say. No pressure from me. We just want to hear what your take on whatever issue you want to bring up. All right? Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. To do Youth Night tonight. So far, not a whole lot of response, which is understandable. It's been a long time since we've done this. We're going to go to Nigel here in just a second. It's been a long time since we've done this. I would imagine that talk radio is not a medium that young people even want to bother with anymore, and that's certainly understandable. But we're going to give it another shot here. The phone number is 877-996-2556. If you're 13 to 17 inclusive, and would like to, you know, make a point about your take on things or something in particular, give us a call. All right? All right, Nigel, thanks for holding on. Nigel is in Vista, California. Welcome to the program, Nigel.
Hello, Mike.
Hey, how old are you?
I am 15.
15, and you're in high school too, I take it?
Yeah, I'm in high school. I'm a sophomore right now.
Sophomore, okay. Also in California, same school system that our last caller called about. Do you have the same sense of public school system? I'm assuming you go to public school as the last caller?
Yeah, that's actually what I wanted to talk about. It's pretty terrible right now. At my school, like I said, I know what's going on in California, but I don't really know what's going on in all of the other schools around the country.
Mm-hmm.
But at mine, they're increasing in class sizes from 38, which is already really big because you can fit maybe 30 kids in a classroom at our school,
right,
to 40. 12 mm-hmm. teachers are retiring, but instead of replacing them, they're cutting four more. And they're cutting two really big junior projects
mm-hmm.
because of budget cuts, massive budget cuts. So, and we've had like three furlough Fridays. And they're also considering getting rid of a free field trip this year
mm-hmm.
to the Museum of Tolerance. And the quality of education is very poor.
You said to the Museum of what?
Museum of Tolerance.
What is that, Museum of Tolerance?
It's the museum where they teach about pretty much all the evils humans have done to each other to try and promote tolerance and acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly to tie in with the Holocaust that most sophomores mm-hmm. and juniors are learning about right now.
So field trips to that particular museum are being eliminated?
That's currently the plan from what I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard some talk that they might try to pull some strings to keep it since half the student body is gone, but the other half hasn't yet, so it'd be unfair to mm-hmm. yank it when half of them have got to go and the other half haven't.
Mm-hmm. What, you know, I can't imagine a classroom of 38 kids being told that it's going to go even higher. Do you have one instructor in that class, or are there two teachers?
One teacher.
One teacher.
Yeah.
What do you think, and let me just tell you, Nigel, that it is not all that different around the country. I can think of very few states that are not on the verge of bankruptcy and have started the slash and burn process where it concerns education, the one thing that I would think should be preserved no matter what. What do you think is causing the problem in education in California? Why are you kids facing what you're facing?
I personally think that there's nothing else left to cut. They've already slashed the firefighters. They've already slashed the police. They've slashed just about everything. And all that's left is, what little is left, is the education system. And since we have a dime left that they can take, they're going to take it because they need it.
What do you see, then, as your prospects for an education that not only educates you, but also prepares you for the next level if you're going on to college, or prepares you for a career? What are your chances of getting through high school in Vista, California, and coming out the other side with a acceptable education, an education acceptable to you? What are your chances of that happening?
Not very high, because a lot of colleges now have started to use this thing called I think it's API score or something, where they sort of grade schools on how good they are based on their testing. And if your entire school has a low score, that really lowers your chances to get into college rather than another school that has a higher score. And my school is below the 800 average that it's supposed to have.
Mm-hmm.
So it really hurts your chances of getting into a college. Let's say that I am more involved in my school. I have straight A's and one B, and I have a part-time job. And I'm doing good at my school. But another guy, not involved in his school, has no job, and has the same grades, would get in because his school has a score of, like, I don't know, 900 or something, and ours has a score of 750.
Right.
Just because, you know, they think an A at a better school is weighted heavier than an A at a less adequate school.
Sure, sure. Other than education, what do you think is one of the major issues that people in your age group, or and I don't mean just your class or your friends, but people in your age group, other than education, what do you think is a major concern right now?
I personally think it is going to be jobs for us, at least in the immediate future.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be, even back when my brother was my age, like 10 years ago or so, he was able to get a job at 14 and work at a gas station and, you know, make money.
Right.
But nowadays, 18-year-olds and 19-year-olds are having trouble finding work. He had trouble finding work himself. And it's just like, and he only got work because he knew people who knew people to get him in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm just going to be turning 16 soon. So when I start to go out in the job market, I have unemployed fathers, unemployed 50-year-olds, 40-year-olds, 30-year-olds who are way more qualified and that they're going to think have way more work ethic than they don't,
right,
just because they're older men.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's going to be difficult for young adults to find any decent paying work.
Mm-hmm. Do you mind my asking, are your parents employed?
I think my father still is. I don't live with him, but my mom is working at a chemist at the Encino wastewater facility.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother has a job at a Palomar College nearby. And so they're both employed full time.
Mm-hmm. Are you concerned about, I'm assuming that you hear the political rhetoric that goes on in this country now, the weirdness of that rhetoric. How does that affect you? Do you pay any attention to that at all?
I do. And there were a lot of issues I wanted to talk about, but I felt education was the most immediately pressing because, you know, that's my future.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of the stuff in the political climate will sort of blow over, hopefully. But, you know, education is one of those things that the gift that keeps on giving, whether it's good or bad.
Yeah, yeah, isn't that the truth?
But
yeah,
with the health care, I was very happy that bill was passed, even though I felt it was inadequate to really address the citizens' concerns.
Mm-hmm.
But being somebody who was uninsured for the majority of my life, I've only had insurance for maybe a year and a half or so, it would have been great when I was uninsured, because it was sort of like our healthcare policy was don't get sick. And, you know, that's really not much of a choice, and I'm just lucky that I was a healthy child. My brother had asthma, so he had a lot of chronic illness and a lot of medical bills that needed to be paid, so he wasn't as lucky. So, you know, that's ridiculous, having a healthcare policy of don't get sick, like it's a choice. Like, oh, yeah, I enjoy having the flu. I enjoy being in the hospital.
Right.
Ridiculous.
So you think that the healthcare, health insurance reform package that was recently passed, you think it's a good thing? I guess it would be a good thing for you, because it directly affects young people almost immediately. Young people and people on Medicare, and people with so-called, I think, kids with pre-existing conditions. And it will cover you on your parents' policy up to the age of 26, which means you don't have to go out and buy it on your own. That's got to be some kind of a relief.
Well, yeah, that's a nice bonus. And my brother can go back on my mom's plan if he wasn't already. I'm not sure what the situation is there.
Mm-hmm.
But I still feel like, you know, he could have done a lot more to help the average guy. And I think it should have done a lot more. And I'm really disappointed that our congressman and our president didn't really push for more.
Hey, do you want to hold on a second, Nigel? We'll talk a little bit more.
All righty.
Okay. All right. Let me put you on hold. We'll come back and chat with Nigel in Vista, California after the break. If you're a teenager, we'd like to hear from you. 877-996-2556.
Conservatives, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. It's Mike Malloy. I'm gonna leave
the city. 21 past the hour. We're talking to young people tonight. Phone number here is 877-996-2556. All right, Nigel in Vista, California, who's 15. The health legislation that was passed, you consider obviously to be a good, at least a good first step. If you had to answer this question, what is the major thing that concerns you now? Now, by concern, I mean, worries you or causes you anxiety, other than the general stuff that people feel about the future at any time. But I mean, anything specific that affects you as a 15-year-old.
About healthcare or just in the world?
Anything at all across the spectrum, whatever's going on.
My big worry is that one of my big worries, because, I mean, you know, I'm a worrywart, I have several, but one of them is that the war in the Middle East, because it's not just, you know, Afghanistan and Iraq anymore, but just all over, is going to sort of be a perpetual thing that's just going to keep draining our money and getting us more and more in debt until, you know, we pretty much hit rock bottom. Because, you know, it may seem like a lot of people that we've hit rock bottom, but, you know, we aren't even close.
Right.
So that's one of my big worries, is that we aren't going to, you know, pull out anytime soon because of whatever worry some people have. You know, you just need to know when to call it quits and when to cut your losses, so to speak.
What do you think it would take to get the United States to withdraw its troops from various places we're involved in the Middle East?
If more Americans made their thoughts, were more outspoken about their thoughts, I think it would really help, because right now it's just a small group who's still speaking out against the wars, because initially you had a lot of people who were like, hey, you know, this isn't right.
Right.
But now they've all got tired, or they're like, you know, I got to get back to my jobs. I can't be out here protesting every day.
Right.
And, you know, on the corner in our town, there's always a few people every weekend, or every other weekend, who have signs of, you know, stop the war in Iraq, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that
you know, more people need to be like that. And if more people, young people, old people, whatever people, made their objections against the wars more outspoken, the government would be like, okay, we should probably pull out because that's what the people want, and they elect us. And if we don't do what they want, then they'll elect somebody who will.
I sometimes wonder if that kind of response would come from our elected officials anymore, but I have the same hope, Nigel, that you do. Hey, listen, thanks. I'm glad you called in and appreciate what you had to say, all right?
All righty. Thank you for having me.
All right, Nigel. Take care. Take care. Chelsea is in Valdosta, Georgia, listening on Sirius. Hey, Chelsea. Welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm so good. Thank you. How are you?
Good. Can I ask your age, please?
17.
You're 17? All right. What would you like to talk about?
I wanted to talk about the topic of legalizing marijuana, if that's okay.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Awesome. Would you like to start, or me, or?
No, go ahead. Well, let me just ask you, why do you think marijuana should be legalized?
Okay, well, earlier I heard you say one of the things that maybe makes you anxious, or...
Right.
And that kind of made me think of that, and I know a lot of people who have really bad anxiety problems, and sometimes they use that, and they it helps them a lot, and, like, calms them down, obviously, and I don't know, I understand limits and everything and how, I don't know, I just think that it'd be really good sometimes to, I've heard so many things like we can get out of debt and stuff by legalizing it and making a profit out of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, there's a lot of truth to that. Do you think there should be age restrictions on sale or possession of marijuana like there is on alcohol?
Yes, definitely that, because I think that marijuana could be definitely a gateway drug, like everyone says, but I think that, like, if you wait till long enough, I mean, obviously people drink underage and stuff anyway.
Right,
but,
right.
I don't know. I've never been on the radio, so I'm really bad at this kind of stuff.
No, that's all right. That's all right. Yeah. I get nervous every night before I start the program. Trust
really?
Me. Oh, yeah, of course.
I want to be a radio jockey.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. Now I'm going to be a dolphin trainer, though.
A dolphin trainer?
I mean, I've always wanted to be a dolphin trainer, but for like a month I wanted to be a radio jockey. No, I still do, but dolphin training is my number one.
Really? What?
Yeah.
Why? Why that?
I love dolphins.
Yeah?
And when I was really young, I went on a cruise and I got like this opportunity. I got this like dolphin encounter thing.
Yeah.
And
have you ever done that?
Yeah, well, that time I didn't. I was a total wimp, I guess, and I was afraid of the fish that were in it that the dolphins would eat, so I lost that opportunity, and ever since I wanted to do it, and a few years later, I went to this program called Discovery Cove in Florida,
mm-hmm.
and you get to do a dolphin encounter there, and then
Is that down in the Keys?
No, but I'm doing that in August.
Are you? Hey, listen, can you hold on, Chelsea?
Yes.
You want to talk a little more?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let me put you on hold. We have to do some commercials, then we'll come back and pick it up, all right?
Okay.
Okay, stay there. We'll come back in a minute. Stay with us. We're talking to young people tonight. And listening to what they have to say. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Redefining anger management. It's Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. We're talking to young people tonight. The phone number here is 877-996-2556 if you'd like to join in. All right, back to Chelsea in Valdosta. Are you in high school, Chelsea, or are you finished?
I'm about to graduate.
You graduate this June.
Yes, sir.
What's the next step for you after you graduate high school?
The next step, as in summer or schooling? Or
yes, yeah, schooling.
Schooling? Okay, well, gosh, this question so much.
I'm sure you do.
No. Yeah. Hold on, let me think.
That's right. No, if you don't have a ready answer, you know, it doesn't matter.
I do. Okay. I just always have to think of a right way to word it because I always make it sound so weird.
Okay.
I think I got it. So I looked online. Wanted to be a dolphin trainer all my life. Started looking online finally for it, but I started that way too late. But I luckily found a research program in the Florida Keys, like you said earlier.
Right.
In a place called the Grassy Keys, I suppose.
Yeah.
And it's a course that is about 2 months at least long, and you stay there in their facilities, and every day you get to I can't think of the words right now, of course. Interact, that's the word.
Right.
Interact with all kinds of marine animals and stuff and learn how to take care of them. And I'm doing that so I can make sure that I really, really am like 100% sure into this, because I hear so many of my friends, not so much my friends, just so many people just like start a major or anything and then they decide that they don't want to do that anymore. And I don't want to do that at all because I just don't have the money or time. I mean, you know.
Guess what?
What?
When you go to the Keys and do this two-month program, if you keep an open mind about what you're going to experience down there, there's a very good chance that the dolphins will wind up training you.
Is that a good thing?
I would think so.
I think so, too. I think that's the best part of it.
I would think so. Are these dolphins that are kept in pens, or are they...
No.
They're
not.
They come in from the wild, from the ocean.
Well,
okay.
Kind of, sort of. It's a research lab.
Oh, okay.
It's like I can't think of any of the words that I want to use right now.
That's all right. The audience gets what you're talking about. That's okay. Don't worry about...
Yeah, they get me.
Yeah, don't worry about the words. But they come in out of a natural habitat, and the students, you all get in their environment.
Yeah, there's docks, and there's also, they take boats out and stuff.
Right, right.
And I still have to read more into it. There's so much more to know. And I've read it all, like, over and over again because I'm so excited for it, but...
Well, it's my understanding. I haven't done the kind of research about this that you have, obviously, but the bit I have read about porpoise or dolphin consciousness leads me to believe that there is so much there that humans either don't understand, don't appreciate, or a little bit too arrogant to accept. So the fact that you're going to have this excellent opportunity to have the dolphins work with you, I think is really cool. I think you will probably learn a tremendous amount from this. Let me ask you one more thing here. I think one more thing. Do you have concerns about the political system in this country, the state it's in, or do you kind of just not really focus on that right now?
It's not so much it's not so much I focus on it. I worry about it when I hear the bad things. I should watch the news more.
No, you probably shouldn't.
I know. I hate watching the news. It's so depressing sometimes, but I mean, it's not the news that's so much depressing is that the world, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're a radio jockey.
Now, you said you wanted to do that kind of work also. Are you working at a station in or around Valdosta?
No, I'm actually just driving through Valdosta right now. I'm on my way to a cruise.
Oh, okay. So you're just passing through Valdosta.
I'm from Atlanta.
Oh, from Atlanta.
Or the suburbs of Atlanta.
Yeah? Which one?
Cherokee County, Woodstock.
Oh, Cherokee County, north of Atlanta.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, listen, it was good talking to you, Chelsea. Stay in touch if you feel like it. Let us know. I'd be
definitely
real curious to find out what the dolphins teach you this summer.
I am
so excited, and I will totally give you a rain check on that.
Thank you. All right, drive safely.
Okay, I will.
All right, Chelsea, thanks for checking in. I appreciate it. That would be very, very interesting. I've heard of this place that she's going to. It's not bad. Like, you know, I just got the sense when she was talking that a lot of people were thinking, uh-oh, dolphin trainer. Oh, you mean to stick them into SeaWorld or someplace? I don't think that's what this is about at all. And I don't think from listening to Chelsea, her point of view on this, I don't think that's what she's about at all. But I think I've heard of the place in the Keys. It's at Grass Key, I believe, is the location. I'm sure I'll get a flood of emails here in a second. Somebody will Google it or Wikipedia it or come up, you know, whatever. But I think it's also the place where they take kids who have developmental disorders and actually take them into the water. And, you know, you may disagree with this. Because I know some people do, but take them into the water with wild dolphins. Now, they are wild animals, but these are apparently mammals that have an understanding of what's going on, perhaps on a level that we don't get. But the kids, the developmentally challenged kids who do this, and some kids with physical disabilities who experience this, I've read, it has a profound effect on the kids. So good luck, Chelsea. It just sounds like a thing to do. It sounds like a good thing to do. Jonathan is in San Francisco listening on Green 960. Hi, Jonathan.
Hey, Mike.
How are you?
I'm good.
Okay. Tell me how old you are.
I am 14.
14? You're in high school now, or?
Yes, I'm in high school.
Okay. And what prompted you to call tonight?
I want to go on a rant about Republicans a bit.
Why would you want to do that?
Gee, I don't know. They're just so fundamentally against what we should be striving towards.
All right, Jonathan. Go ahead. Rant.
Well, they're either racist, xenophobic, or they're idiots who are voting against their best interests.
Now,
a combination of those two.
Wait a minute. Huh? Let's go a little bit slower. How do you come to these conclusions? There'd be a lot of people listening right now who would say, "Oh my God, this kid has been brainwashed." How do you come to the conclusion regarding what you just said?
You can see it everywhere on the news.
Oh, okay. It's your own observation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And they're either those two or they're rich, corrupt bastards who are out for the money.
Now, you're 14, right?
Yes.
Do you possibly foresee a time when you're not 14, when you're 24, 34, 44, or God forbid, 54, where you might become a rich, corrupt bastard?
I sure hope I don't. I sure hope I just stay true to what I believe in right now.
It's a challenge.
Yeah.
It's a challenge. What, other than Republicans, what concerns you, Jonathan? You're in high school in San Francisco?
Yes.
Okay.
But I go to a private school,
so. All right, you go to private school. Do you have the same educational problems that some of the kids who go to public schools have?
Well, not so much, but I know the problems that they're having in public schools, too, with all the budget cuts and everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Shame.
So, private school, you're sort of immune from most of that or all of it?
Yeah, I'm pretty much immune to most of it.
All right. What concerns you? Let me ask you a two-part question. What concerns you the most? In other words, what gets you the most upset? A. B. What do you feel most positive about at this point in your life?
Well, the health care bill. It was a good thing that it passed, but I really did want to see a public option in there, which I was disappointed when it didn't get in.
Right.
And I guess I'm most hopeful about, I'm not really sure.
Well, that might take a little thought. I'll tell you what, I have to do a break here. Do you want to hold on for a minute?
Sure.
Okay, hold on. And when we come back, if you can tell me specifically what what concerns you the most right now? What, in other words, what causes you the fear or anxiety or, you know, A, B, what do you feel most positive about? So let me put you on hold while we do this break, and we'll come back and see if you can get the, see if you can come up with some answer to that. I realize when you call a radio program, you're going to be kind of put on the spot because you got to think pretty quick, you know. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're going to have to deal with stress, deal with stress, deal with stress. You're going to be a giant mess when you get back on the war.
Santa Claus does not exist and there's no Easter Bunny. You'll find out when you grow up that Big Bird isn't funny.
Life's going to suck when you grow up, when you grow up, when you grow up. Life's going to suck when you grow up. It sucks pretty bad right now. You're going to end up smoking crack on your back, face the fact. You're going to end up hooked on smack and then you're going to die.
The Mike Malloy Show. Talk radio matters here.
It's about 10 before the hour. This is Youth Night. We're talking with Jonathan in San Francisco, who's who's 14. All right, were you able to come up with a couple of A's and B's for me, Jonathan? A would be the thing that concerns you pretty much the most right now at your age and the thing that gives you the most hope. I guess that's the best way to put it.
Yeah, I did think of something. I am very concerned about, for example, the recent Supreme Court ruling, on corporations being able to donate an unlimitable amount of money to their candidate, who they want, who will have their interests in hand. And also, I'm worried about all these Republicans, like Sarah Palin, for example, don't retreat, reload.
Yeah.
Eventually, someone out there is going to do something to harm a senator or, God forbid, the president. And something positive, what gave me a bit of hope was when I learned that the Supreme Court ruling also made it so you could vote or donate as much money against a candidate as they needed to, but not sure how much help that'll give.
Do you, are you pretty relaxed in your life, or do you feel that there's a lot of tension and stuff that's really eating at you? I'm talking about, I don't mean your family or anything. I'm talking about, you know, what's going on outside, your, you know, your family, your, you know, your school, whatever, but the bigger picture, do you spend a lot of time worrying about things that are just way beyond your control, or do you kind of go with the flow? What?
Yeah, I try not to think about it too much because when I do get worried and I have to think about how I could possibly change this if there ever was a way.
The reason I asked you that question, I can remember clearly when I was 14, and the big issue for people my age when we were 14, we were constantly waiting for the Russians to send over the nuclear bombs. That's what we were being told, mostly by conservatives and Republicans all those years ago, decades ago. What we were told when we were kids, we used to have drills called duck and cover. Are you familiar with that? You know what that means?
Yeah.
Okay.
I am.
Okay, duck and cover drills. We used to have that in eighth grade, ninth grade, 10th grade. It was just insane. It was madness. And the reason I bring this up is because probably every generation in this country has had those overarching, you know, really existential fears. I know my parents, it was the Depression.
Yeah.
The generation between my parents and me, it might have been, you know, it was World War II. My generation, it was the Russians are coming, the Russians are coming. So, you know, it always seems like there's something that, you know, if you really focus on it, can really kind of push you to the edge. Now, I don't know if you're pushed to the edge. You may be able to go with the flow a lot easier than some people. But I was just thinking, with the kids that we've talked to tonight, if there are some of those overarching issues that really tend to freak you out, it's always been something, is what I'm trying to say. It's always been something. And somehow we've managed to, one way or another, muddle through. I would just hope that young people don't get really discouraged to the point where they just say to heck with it and give up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Sometimes I have to think about that too when I'm seeing my classmates showing some indifference about politics.
Yeah.
It kind of makes me worry about our future.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. All right. Well, listen, it's been good talking to you, Jonathan. Good luck. And if you can,
thanks.
You know, stay in touch. Call once in a while. You don't have to wait for the youth night.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right.
All right,
thanks.
Jonathan. Take
Bye-bye.
Care. Take care. Bye-bye. Okay. We are out of phone calls from the people that we'd like to hear from tonight. If you, we have a break coming up here, so if you would like to voice an opinion and you're 13, 14, 15, 16, or 17, we'd like to hear from you. I got this email earlier today. Mike, Jesse, and then last name. I'm an almost 17-year-old from Australia borrowing our neighbor's computer. I'm going to major in psychology at university and am at the moment writing a paper for a media class and trying to combine the two subjects. My premise is that the internet seems to be accelerating a lack of understanding in political discourse as opposed to what might be expected of the information highway. My argument is that this is due to lack of emotional intelligence in the audience. As research, our neighbor directed me to an article from a website mailing she receives. I imagine you have access to the same. I wonder if you have read the article. And then it goes on, which I, you know, may be able to get to a little bit later. But the subject line in his email says, a question for Youth Night from an Aussie teen. And what he's concerned about, what he mentions in the email, what the article addresses, is the fact that the internet, to a large extent, is so horribly misused. You can, you know, redstate.com or Free Republic. So many of these websites that use it strictly as a vehicle for hate, misinformation, racism, bigotry, murderous comments, assaults, verbal assaults. So I certainly hear what you're saying, Jesse. It is a two-edged sword, but I think any form of communication has always been kind of a two-edged sword. Book publishing. Once it left the monastery where the monks and the priests could control what was being printed, book publishing became, as a matter of fact, at one time it was against the law for anyone but the monks to print. But it became a weapon, books. Hopefully, at the beginning anyway, books were used as a weapon of liberation. And now it seems so much of what's written by right-wingers is used as a instrument of subjugation. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. It looks like we've run out of young people who want to offer up some comments this evening. That's fair enough. I think the last time we did this 3 or 4 years ago, there talk radio and my show had not gotten... Well, I guess we've always been kind of intense, haven't we? But so many of the kids, 13, 14, 15-year-olds, who used to call on our youth nights have gone on to different things, I guess. So anyway, to the kids who did participate, thank you. I got a lot of emails here from a lot of people who said it was very enlightening listening to what you had to say. And we'll do it again. We won't wait so long. Maybe that was a problem. It's been 3.5 years since we've done this. So we'll do it again, maybe later on in the summer. Thanks to the kids who did participate. Okay, if you're over 17, you can call in again. Huh? Let's hear from Prairie 2, who sent this in. The subject line is, "Let the red phone go to voicemail. I'm on the other line." Oh, God. President Obama took a very important phone call Thursday night from his new best friend forever. President Hu Jintao wanted to chat. In fact, the call went on for over an hour. We know this wasn't expected because Air Force One had to park on the tarmac after landing while the two love-smitten teenagers kept talking. They were arranging a date for later in the month at a nuclear security summit in Washington. The spring prom, as it were. Back in China, the newly warmed relations were all over the TV news. Their version of the call was that Mr. Hu expressed a desire for healthier ties while stressing Beijing's opposition or positions on Taiwan and Tibet. And the White House said President Obama stressed for China to press Iran on its nuclear ambitions. Nothing but X's and O's on their text messages. No picture sexting so far. The White House said emphatically that they did not discuss the renminbi, the money, but they did discuss trade. You can bet the wild swings in the U.S. dollar were a topic. Obama had tried to shake loose from China's peg to the dollar by driving the U.S. dollar down. A weak dollar is, in theory, as good as tariffs. But Wall Street undermining the euro has driven the U.S. dollar back up again. None of this sits well with China. And they haven't been shy about saying so. As a favor to his new best friend, Obama will have the Treasury sit on the congressionally mandated report about China's blatant currency manipulation. Obama could lay on heavy tariffs under the GATT Treaty if China is shown to have engaged in such behavior, which, of course, they have done every day since China began to trade with the outside world. China could solve Obama's U.S. unemployment problem at any time without doing anything about the currency exchange rate. You see, China is not a democracy or a free market in any normal sense of the word. The People's Republic of China is a hardcore Stalinist regime. They are free market in that they hold their prisoners until they get the best price for their organs. I didn't say they were capitalists. If China sees it in their interest, they can hold up the transnational corporations that have been siphoning off jobs from the U.S. as much as they see fit. As the only economic superpower, China can even apply pressure to companies that aren't dependent on China directly. The neocon dream was to build the dragon up and then control it. The dragon doesn't think so. China's officials care about face more than anything. Obama was meek and respectful during his visit to China, which was great fodder for the right-wing media. But Obama has a stature in the world that China, with all its success, can't buy. So Obama can let Hu wear his letter sweater around school, and for this, China will put out some trade concessions. There will probably be no official agreement announced, but what China's heavy-handed government does could solve the unemployment problem, at least until the fall election is over. Prairie 2. Go to his website, prairie2.com. That's a good one. I like that. You know, I would not understand the least thing about this China-U.S. currency trade, yada, 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 except for two people, Paul Krugman and Bruce Enberg, who is Prairie 2. So I personally am glad that he sends these missives in so we can see what the hell is going on. This is from Duncan in Washington State. Mike, we agree that Beck, Hannity, and all the other scumbags at Fox News are lying neo-Nazis, but they are really just loudmouth clown puppets. Isn't it time that we go after the man who pays their wages? I'm sure that nothing goes on the air at Fox without Rupert Murdoch's approval. So let's start a movement to strongly focus on and expose Rupert Murdoch. The others are all pipsqueaks that are paid to do his bidding. People need to know exactly who this Murdoch guy is, because he's the one promoting the warmongering, the hate, and the divisive right-wing propaganda that has destroyed the country. Even people that listen to Fox probably know nothing about who it is pulling the strings and calling the tune behind the scenes. Let's expose and nail Rupert Murdoch. Okay, I think it's a great idea, Duncan, but how do you propose we do that? Rupert Murdoch is, his BFF is Newt Gingrich. Back in the day when Murdoch was not yet a U.S. citizen and Murdoch wanted to start Fox News Channel, wanted to buy the New York Post and yada, 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 he was prohibited from doing so because he was not a U.S. citizen. So he worked a deal with Newt Gingrich, who at the time was the Speaker of the House. And the deal was that Murdoch would, one of his publishing companies, HarperCollins, I guess he had HarperCollins back then, maybe not, whatever, it's immaterial. Murdoch would make sure that Newt Gingrich's book was published with a very generous advance. Matter of fact, I think it was up in the seven-figure range. And all Newty had to do, like the punk that Newty is, all Newty had to do was to get a law through Congress that exempted Rupert Murdoch from the requirement of U.S. citizenship. Well, the deal started to happen, and then it turned out that Newty's little backroom deal with Rupert was exposed, and the deal did not go through. Congress did not pass the law, and Gingrich had to resign in disgrace, like all Republicans do eventually. Newty never got caught with all of his serial adulterous affairs. He never got caught with the intern he was banging in, who worked for the House Agriculture Committee, who he eventually married, bless his heart. Of course, at the time, he was still married to his second, third, fifth, 20th wife. So eventually, Rupert Murdoch had to take the test to become a U.S. citizen, which I understand he passed with just flying colors. So Rupert Murdoch is now a U.S. citizen, and as such, there's not a whole lot that can be done in that regard. As far as stopping him economically, forget about it. It's not going to happen. Rupert Murdoch is as much a part of the U.S. political landscape now as Mount Rushmore or Ronald Reagan or Rush Limbaugh or Glenn Beck. So while I agree with the idea, you know, in order to kill the snake, you have to cut off its head. I certainly understand that. And Fox News is a snake that certainly deserves to die because it is nothing but a filthy propaganda operation. And it's run by a filthy propagandist, no question, no doubt, Rupert Murdoch, who has dumped his seed in four or five countries now. Australia, China, the UK, well, England, Canada, and the United States. How do you stop somebody like him? You actually don't.
the primal scream you suppress. Embrace your inner liberal warrior with Mike Malloy.
It's about 21 past the hour. Jim is in California, somewhere on the Central Coast. Hey, Jim.
That's true. Hey, Mike. Hey, Scott. have you ever been to Hong Kong?
I have not. I'd love to. No, I'd love to, but no, I've never made a trip anywhere east like that.
Because I know you were kind of riffing on China a little bit, but I have to say, you know, Hong Kong is China, but you wouldn't know it if you were there.
Right.
Because it just seems like, I mean, I know it used to be a British city, and it really does feel like a Western city.
Mm-hmm.
And they own it. It's theirs. And the oddest thing about it is there's a guy there who goes by the name Longhair. And I don't know if you're familiar with him, but you can Wikipedia the guy. He has a little entry now. And the funny thing is he says all the left-wing things, and he's, you know, for the people. He used to go to the city council meetings, and he, you know, rail against the system, and he's standing up for the people.
Mm.
And he even ran for city council, for the council,
right,
government there.
Right.
And he did some things where he wanted to protest certain issues, and he tried to go to, I think it was Macau or someplace like that, and they kicked mm-hmm. him out and sent him back. And you know what he wears? He has like a kind of a standard uniform. He wears a Che Guevara t-shirt. Yeah, a Che Guevara t-shirt. And it's just classic. I mean, I can't get my head around that. I really can't.
What part of it bothers you? Che Guevara was a doctor. He was upper middle class. His whole family was.
No. Don't get me wrong. I have no problem with Che Guevara.
That's what I'm saying.
I think of the guy sitting around reading poetry to his buddies there. But it's just funny that he would use a Che Guevara image to rail against the Chinese government. You know, what he's really doing, this is like, he seems like somebody who should be in Los Angeles.
Well, wait, let me stop you a second. I'm curious why you find that odd, because Guevara probably would have, probably right now, were he alive and young enough, he would be in the mountains of China getting ready for a second long march to overthrow the totalitarian fascist government of Hu Jintao. Hu Jintao is not, I don't think, is a communist. You know, let's remember that Guevara was started out as an agrarian reformer. There is a big difference between that and what Hu Jintao is. A dictator, a corporatist dictator is a corporatist dictator, no matter who owns the corporations in the world of China. So many of those massive corporations are owned by the Red Army, which in turn is run by the power of the government. Now, they are nominal communists, but I would like to see something inside the Chinese economy that looks like communism as defined by Castro or Guevara or Lenin or Trotsky or any of these, you know, the old line or Mao. Hu Jintao, in my opinion, and I'm certainly not a China scholar, but he's not a socialist or a communist. He's a fascist dictator who is using a form of state corporate capitalism that is just murdering the rest of the world.
Isn't that a similar criticism of, say, the United States president?
At one time, we don't have the power to do that anymore.
Well, I mean, isn't that but technically, isn't that what people will complain about, say, W? When the people say, well, that's the kind of guy W is. He's bad.
Yeah, but he was a clown. Hu Jintao is.
I understand personally,
right.
But I mean, he did have an administration. I mean, they had something on paper.
Well, I see where you're going. Yeah, I guess
it's boring. It's becoming like they really are becoming kind of like the same country. I mean,
But I think this guy you're talking about, I would imagine that the Che Guevara T-shirt is almost like irony. And if there's one
That's
thing,
the point. That's
one,
the point,
yeah, if there's yeah. one thing the Chinese leadership doesn't understand because it's a Western concept, is irony.
Well, you'd be saying Hong Kong, you know, you'd be surprised. They're pretty American there, but they do kind of frown at the mainlanders who kind of come in, and I don't know, they kind of have that.
Yeah.
Tijuana, San Diego.
Right.
Kind of weird, but.
Well, yeah, thanks, but, Jim. I appreciate your insights. I do. Obviously, you've traveled there.
I have. I like it, but I was kind of happy to get out, actually.
Yeah, I would love to see that part of the world. I don't know that I ever will, though. Thanks, Jim. I appreciate you checking in.
Hey, Mike.
All right, man. Take it easy. Yeah, I think Jim and I are in agreement that Che Guevara would be leading a second long march right now with the absolute goal of arriving in Beijing with a force of hundreds of thousands who would immediately round up the Chinese leadership and behead them. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Search the internet.
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. I saw something at Tom Hartman's website today. It was put up by Louise Hartman. And it is the pledge that every Republican or teabag freak should take. If you are sincere, you Republicans and teabag freaks, here's the pledge. With the recent passage of health care legislation, I, as a Republican or teabagger, will not do the following. One, I will not partake in the socialist health care system that is Obamacare. Two, I will not be employed by a place that makes me pay a socialist Social Security tax. I will become an independent contractor or live in the woods and support myself. Three, I will not join the socialist armed forces, which are funded by tax dollars in a socialist-like manner. Four, if I'm over 65 years of age, I will not cash another Social Security check. I will live off of petty handouts and whatever the AARP gives me. I also will not use socialist Medicare or Medicaid. I would much rather pay premiums that go up by 40% each year. Five, I will not run for public office, since I would be enticed to take advantage of a socialist health care plan and a socialist retirement plan. Six, I will not drive on paved roads, which are funded in a socialistic manner. Instead, I will drive my automobile off-road to get everywhere or just ride a horse. Seven, if I am the victim of a crime or circumstance, I will not call upon the socialist police department or the socialist fire department to help me. I would rather get robbed or watch my house burn than utilize a socialist government-funded institution. Eight, I will not send my children to socialist public schools. I will either homeschool them or send them to a private school. Or, heck, I could even have them listen to Rush Limbaugh. He seems like a nice guy. Nine, I will not let myself or anyone in my household use the socialist public libraries. Since we will not be sending them to school to read socialist textbooks, we can help our kids by sitting them down in front of the television to watch quality shows like Teen Mom, My Super Sweet 16, and The Jerry Springer Show. With those programs, how could they not become productive members of society? 10. If I go to college, I will not accept socialist government grants. I would rather pay my way through virtually unassisted. 11. I will not mail letters from the socialist post office. Instead, I will enlist the help of the Pony Express. And 12, I will not answer the socialistic government-funded census. I would rather have a minimal number of teachers, buses, and traffic lights. In signing this, I won't be sending my kids to the socialist schools, and I'm riding a horse for the rest of my life instead of driving on the roads constructed by socialist government funding. So why should I care about those things? I will abide by these rules to ensure that socialistic concepts and programs do not affect our lives. And then there's a place to sign it. Now, you Republicans, you right-wingers, you teabaggers, you're a bunch of phony bastards. You really are. You're phonies. You're cowards. You're afraid of your own shadow. You lurk in the darkness and send out your little email threats on websites and this and that. But if you were real, see, if you had any kind of spine, any kind of backbone, any kind of manliness or womanliness, you'd sign the damn pledge and stop your bitching. But you won't do that. You won't do that because you're all phonies. You're all a bunch of little snakes in the grass. Whiners. God. Alex is in Brooklyn listening on Sirius. Hello, Alex.
Yeah, hello. How you doing?
I'm all right. I'm okay.
Yeah, I always like to hear your show, and I always hear to Lynn Samuels also. And I just have a question. I keep hearing the Republicans talking about that this is going to be a rationing and things like that. But what I don't understand is that, you know, when they, you know, when they had the majority in the House and the Senate, and when George Bush was president, they never did nothing about the health care.
Well, no, as far as they're concerned, it was already done. It was being run by the people who own their asses and the rest of their bodies, the people that give them lots of money. Why would they change anything?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. I don't know why they're complaining about, and why, I mean.
Well,
I mean,
what they're complaining about is now they failed. The right-wingers, the Republicans, I should say, failed. Their job was not to represent the people in their district. The job of the Republican members of the House and the Senate were to protect various corporate interests. In this case, it was to protect the health industrial complex, the ones that have been screwing the American public for about 80 years now. And they failed. That's why they are screaming about Obamacare, communism, socialism, death panels. They didn't want it to pass because that would have pissed off their masters. Their masters are the people who run the health industrial complex.
No, I agree. And what angered me was when I had heard Ron Paul, I think he's a Republican in the House of Representatives.
Right.
And he stated that health care is not a right. But what I don't understand is that he says you have a right to your life, but is health care is connected to the right to live?
Well, let me ask you, do you think Ron Paul, being a member of Congress, do you think he participates in the health insurance plan that's offered to members of Congress? Now, I don't know if he does or not, but if he does, he is a total lying snake hypocrite. That's A. B, Ron Paul is not a Republican. He ran on the Republican ticket because he couldn't get elected to anything as a libertarian. He is a libertarian. And in fact, he has the right position, as far as I'm concerned, on the foreign wars that Bush and got us into and Obama continue to maintain. He's right, but for the wrong reasons. This whole libertarian idea, libertarians are a bunch of thumbsuckers. They're a bunch of crybabies who are so afraid that maybe 25 cents collecting dust in the bottom of their dresser drawer might be collected as a tax and used to buy, some fried potatoes and peas for some poor kid in school. I hate libertarians. They're whiners. They're babies. They talk this story about, oh, well, everybody should take care of themselves. Oh, hog snot. There's not a libertarian out there who could take care of himself or herself. But it sounds good to them because as far as I'm concerned, every libertarian out there wants to grow a pair, wants to stand up on his hind legs or her hind legs and act like a man or a woman, but they can't. They don't know how. So they come up with this libertarian crap and they all say, well, I think Ayn Rand was wonderful. Ayn Rand was a former a member of the Russian aristocracy, and she was not just a communist totalitarian. She was worse than that. But anyway, That's my take, Alex. Thanks for checking in. Yeah, I hate libertarians almost as much as I hate Republicans. Because libertarians are crybabies. That's all. They're just crybabies. Oh, somebody's going to get this nickel that I've got over here. It's my nickel. Nobody can have my nickel. Creeps. And yet, libertarians, every single day of their worthless, useless lives, Ron Paul included, use so much of the infrastructure that the rest of us have provided for their libertarian lion asses. It's enough to turn your stomach. You know what I'm saying? Libertarian. Get out of here. Just get out of town. Libertarian. Whiners. Crybabies. Terribly afraid that somebody's going to get a crust of bread that the libertarian figures is his. Scumsuckers. Samisi is in Los Angeles. Hello, Samisi.
Hey, what's going on, Mike? Hey, man, I just got to say, keep up doing what you're doing, man.
Okay, until we run out of money and I can't do it anymore, but thanks.
Yeah, I might have to start hitting up the banks, but...
Oh, no. We don't operate that way. You know how we operate? Let me tell you how we operate here. We operate people who subscribe to the podcast and advertising that comes through the agency that handles our ads, but that's it. We don't work for anybody. We're libertarians.
Well, I was just wanting to call in, maybe talk about the school system, in the state today.
Mm-hmm.
And, maybe as a teenager looking in, I guess into the world of adultism, about this whole political issue with Obama and the conservatives. But, mm-hmm. First, about the school system, let me just tell you a little bit about me. When I was, like, my mom's always rushed me around to the best schools, in the city. I live in L.A., California.
Yeah.
So when I was little, she sent me to elementary school in Culver City. It was a immersion school, so they taught half the day was in Japanese and the other half was in English.
Uh-huh.
And then after that, for middle school, she moved me up to Brentwood. For 6th and 7th grade, I went to Paul Revere Middle School, 6th and 7th grade. But she wasn't satisfied with what they were teaching me there. And Brentwood's a very good area. So then for 8th grade, she moved me down to Cerritos for 8th grade. And Cerritos is great. But after that, she still wasn't satisfied with the public school system. So she just said, screw it. I don't have time to homeschool you, but what I am going to do, I'm just going to go ahead and start sending you off to college. So she sent me to a community college back in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I've been for the past 2 years. I have, like, maybe 6 more classes before I graduate. And hopefully, I want to transfer over to Stanford for undergrad.
Well, that's good. So your mother figured out a way to use, I don't want to say take advantage, but to use the school system, college system, education system in California. That's great, Samisi. I wish more people had access or could figure it out too. I got to leave it there. Thanks, pal. I appreciate you checking in. We'll be right back. Before the hour, thanks to the folks who contribute so much to this program, our military affairs correspondent, Sharon Gordy, Bruce Enberg, economic affairs, Kate Petrini is our education correspondent, the ethics advisor of the program, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf, and engineer and executive producer is Kathy Bay. Bob is in Madison, Wisconsin, listening on the mic. Hello, Bob.
Hey, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How about you?
Good. I spoke with you several years ago. I used to live in Superior, Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Heard you on Air America back then.
Uh-huh.
But I'm calling tonight for a couple of reasons. I wanted to find out your opinion on Bill Maher, the comedian who claims he's a libertarian.
He certainly does, doesn't he? But I don't think that's the case at all, if unless he's another one of these phony libertarians. If he were libertarian, I don't think he'd be doing a lot of the things that he does. Okay. I think Maher is an entertainer.
Uh-huh.
I kind of like him. Some of his positions I'm not very fond of, but you know, he's an entertainer as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. And the other thing, when President Obama was getting all the hassle from the Republicans over his health care,
mm-hmm.
I think he should have, and I don't know if constitutionally if he could have done this, but he should have issued a couple of, or I'm not even sure what
Executive orders?
Executive orders.
Right.
The first thing he could have done, he could have threatened to have all of Congress's health care removed. And to give them 1 week to pass a health care bill with a public option.
Right.
And if they wouldn't do that, the second thing would be to set their wages at the minimum wage.
Well, I don't think he has the power to do that. Congress makes its own rules. The House makes its own rules. The Senate makes its own rules. If he had tried something like that, it would have been considered violation of separation of powers.
And they would have called him a dictator.
Well, yeah, but it wouldn't have gone anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, you just can't, you know, each of the three branches of government, in theory, are separate but equal.
Mm-hmm.
And they make their own rules.
Well, he could have probably threatened to do it, taking a page out of LBJ's playbook.
Yeah, well, now, that's a little bit different. He could have, what LBJ used to call jawboning, he could have gotten some of these. But we don't have, you know, we don't have the kind of leadership, like him or hate him. And there's no middle ground on LBJ as far as I'm concerned. You either thought he was a good political manipulator and eventually president, or you thought he was a political manipulator and a horrific president because of the involvement in Vietnam. So, you know, people take their pick. But
yeah,
if you eliminate a lot of the stuff that makes one hate LBJ, you find out that he was a without a parallel, a manipulator where it concerned getting his will done in mm-hmm. the Congress. You know, he was a white Southern Democrat.
Yeah.
And he managed to corral other white Southern Democrats and force them to do what he wanted to do. And I think a lot of the legislation that Johnson got passed before he became the unexpected president, I think a lot of the stuff he got passed was good.
Mm-hmm.
And even after he became president, the stuff that he signed as the chief executive, which was a result of his working behind the scenes to get it done, I think a lot of that stuff was good for the country as a whole. But it certainly turned Southern Democrats into Southern Republicans.
Yeah.
The white ones, anyway.
Well, the Republicans, I'm sure, had Obama tried to do something like that, they would have threatened to resign. And if I would have been Obama, I would say, if you resign, you forfeit your pension.
Right. There's the door. Get out of my Congress. Hey, thanks, Bob. Appreciate what you had to say. Matt is in Minneapolis listening to KTNF. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Mike. How are you doing tonight?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm good. You know, I just wanted to call and say, continue the attack on these libertarians. They are all phonies.
Why aren't they? Oh, my God.
They're right-wing Republicans who are like Nazis, you know, claiming they were drafted. They didn't know anything.
Right, right.
You know, they just want to run away from chimpy.
I'll tell you, as a political movement, I've never seen a batch of morons. They're like Scientologists almost. A batch of morons like libertarians. I mean, if you want to be a Nazi, just join the Republican Party. If you want to be a socialist, join the Democratic Party. If you want to be an idiot, declare yourself a libertarian. I mean, oh my God.
Exactly.
I
just roll my eyes when people tell me they're libertarian.
Yeah, I'm a libertarian. Oh, yeah, how do you get to work? Well, I get in my car and drive. What do you drive on? Oh, yeah, I drive on one of those rotten government-owned highways. You know,
do they even have a platform?
Yeah, well, their platform is the same, pretty much Republicans. We want to go back to the, we want to restore, constitutional law. We want things to go back. In other words, what they're saying also is we want to get rid of the black guy in the White House. That's all. It's very simple.
That's exactly right.
Hey, I got to go. Thanks, man.
Hey, right on. Talk to you.
All right, sir. Take care. Yeah, libertarians. Give me a break.
You know, only 50% of Americans pay taxes.
And I feel like, well, 20% of Americans are children. How much should they pay for the fire department?
Yeah.
The other 20%.
What are you telling me?
People.
What some libertarian said to you on the phone?
Oh, I had a little spate of morons.
Morons. Yeah. Neil Bortz listeners. You know, that's why I like Neil Bortz claims to be a libertarian. He's about as much a libertarian as he is a
socialist. They just don't want to pay taxes.
Well, it's not just they don't want to pay taxes. They're afraid that if they drop a crumb of bread off their plate onto the floor, that some little kid is going to come scuttling out of the darkness and take it and eat it.
Damn kid doesn't have a job.
Right. Get out of here, kid. All right. I've had enough. I'll see you Monday night. All right. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are. Whoa.